This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is time for Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we are chatting parenting. For me this week, I hope you're loving it as well. I was even mentioning yesterday, because I was running at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, which was scorchingly hot, and I absolutely loved it. I honestly, this warmer weather, I've been waiting for it. I do not like winter. I hate that it's dark in the morning. I hate that I have to put on a lot of clothes. I don't like it. And the cold, obviously, I don't like. So I cannot wait to start swimming, working on my tan, and just being in a good mood. I'm honestly already, just from the warmer weather, in a much better mental state because of the warmer weather and the more sunshine. It's absolutely wonderful. And that's actually what I want to talk about, is our mental state. Because again, now I'm saying I'm in a much better mental state because of the weather. See, small things like that can really have an impact on us. But we're entering September. And let's face it, this last stretch of the year is, a lot. There's already, you're starting to prepare for the next year. Maybe it's only me. You know me. I am like anal when it comes to preparation and planning and. But it is the reality. And for me, what makes this time extra, because my son's birthday is in September, so in like literally, he's turning 13 in 10 days. Oh, my word, my heart. Anyway, that's happening September. Then my daughter's birthday is in December, and obviously it's Christmas and stuff. So for me already, I'm also planning like certain things, like stationery for next year, the books and stuff that needs to be ordered, because it's a little bit of financial planning, to be honest, because I don't want everything to happen in December. So I'm like stretching it out a little bit, September, because also the reality is my son is turning 13. So the gifts that he wants is not anymore Lego, which I thought, I mean, Lego is freaking expensive and it's cheap in comparison to the crap that he wants now. And that's the thing is that I also want to, like, September is his birthday, October then is the ordering of stationery books for next year, and then it's November, planning for, I've planned for holiday. But again, I'm talking about our mental health today, and how, I mean, planning, I guess, is one way to help with the situation. But we're going to be talking about that a little bit today. And I want you to share with me. I mean, this is something you know by now that I'm super passionate about finding ways that we can be better and also more considerate and kind to each other. And that's what, for me, is the most important part about awareness and talking about these things, is the fact that I feel that, as moms, we can be so judgmental. And I don't think it's necessarily purposefully. It's often because we have chosen something and a path, and we want to justify the choices we have made. And then sometimes it comes off as being judgmental and mean. And it's not, it shouldn't be. But I think we can all learn a little bit and reflect a little bit in that, just to be a little bit more considerate when we're saying breast is best. And what's all the other things that we're saying? Oh, I'm not doing steam training and all these things. And it's like, we can be sometimes, it can come across as being harsh. And that's, for me, also an important part of this. It's not only check ourselves before we wreck ourselves, but also checking up on the people around us and being a little bit more mindful and kind to the moms around us as well. And today joining me, which is also an interesting segue, because I'm not talking to a psychologist today. I'm talking to an occupational therapist today, Renske Senekal. Hello, Renske. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hello, Yolandi. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so how's your mental state there with the warmer weather and September?
Warmer weather is lovely, but as you know, they say September and February are burnout season, because you've had so much and you've got so much coming up. But we're trying to take it slow, and we're trying to take as much pressure. I'm trying to take as much pressure off myself as I can. But the warmer weather really is helping. Looking forward to be able to wear a dress soon as well.
Yeah, so I am wearing a dress today. I'm full on going for summer. I don't wait for it. But, and I mean, that's really, I mean, it's such a silly thing, but I mean it when I say I love summer. And because just the amount of clothes you have to wear, and I mean, it's so dumb, but I mean, I'm telling you, it takes me 5 minutes extra in the morning. And I mean, 5 minutes over 7 days is 35 minutes I'm spending on thinking what I have to wear, which I could be doing a lot better when the weather is warmer.
And then also the sun in itself, exposure to sunlight has a good effect on your mental health. That's been proven. So
yes. So now I'm glad that it's not just in my head, the mental state. But I mean, for me, let's start with the discussion with regards to mom's mental health. As always, of course, I do want you to be part of this discussion. So if you have any comments, questions, or shares with regards to how you're feeling this time of the year, please do send me a WhatsApp on 061-895-1019. 061-895-1019. And of course, you can also send us a WhatsApp directly from the app, the HiFM app. If you haven't downloaded it, go download it now while you're talking and listening to us. It would be helpful. So let's start, because that's also something for me sometimes, our perception of what good mental health is. What do you feel is good mental health, and what does it look like for a mom?
Yolandi, this is actually a multifaceted question to answer, because good mental health for moms can look vastly different. For me, it can look different than for you, and as such for each other individual. So I think it's important to note, though, that it's normal for moms to experience a range of emotions. So this is very much in the newborn stage, but all over your children's life. Feeling overwhelmed and frustrated at times is normal. Even angry is normal. That doesn't mean you don't love your baby. Feeling these emotions, although the world can maybe see them as negative, is actually an indication of being normal. So that I just want to state that. But when these emotions become too big, too long, too intense, and they start interfering with your ability to perform daily tasks, that's when we're worried. But back to good mental health. So it's about having realistic expectations. Understanding, that's what I find is one of the biggest things that I see with people that are really functioning well. Realistic expectation. Understand that it's fine to not have everything perfect all the time, and to also be okay with that. And then in my experience, secondly, both professionally and personally, it's less about meeting a specific standard and a lot more about finding balance in this unique chaos. So I'm so glad you said what you just said, because we can often be comparing ourselves to other moms, or we can be comparing ourselves to our own expectation of what we thought things would be like, or comparing ourselves to this perfectionism. But being able
and it's to so find easy to compare these days with social media, and everything looks so fantastically beautiful on social media.
We're going to get to that. And then the other thing is what I've really found, one of the key indicators is the ability to still experience joy. So with all the chaos, with all the challenges, to still experience joy. It should be noted that some moms that have a diagnosis of postpartum mental health issues still can experience joy. So it's not a straight line. But if you can still experience joy despite all the chaos. And then something else that for me is an indication of good mental health is being able to recognize I need help, and then being able to accept that help. So that can also be an indication. And then being able to set and enforce boundaries. And lastly, self-compassion. Moms that really thrive mental health-wise normally have really good self-compassion. They can be kind to themselves. They can take the edge off a little bit. So I suppose it looks, there's a lot of elements.
Very different for each mom. I'm looking forward to getting into this a lot more.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 Chai FM. And yes, this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And we're talking today, mom's mental health. And I've been speaking to occupational therapist Renske Senekal about this very important topic. And we'll segue into how it fits in with occupational therapy as well. But before we went to the ad break, we mentioned how different mental health can, or good mental health can look for each mom. And again, as always, we do want you to be part of the conversation. So of course, you can send us a WhatsApp on 061-895-1019. And I love, Renske, how you were talking about how it's different for every mom, and also how you were mentioning that it's okay to have different feelings, because that's always, if someone asks me, what is parenting like? Because you can't really prepare someone for parenting, in essence. I'm hoping we're helping with the show to help different moms with different topics to make it a little bit easier on them. And That's why I love our Chai FM community so much, and the opportunity to be able to add to our community. But I always say, if people ask me, what does motherhood look like? I always say that you have to realize that, in essence, it's two contradictory feelings all the time. And I think in the beginning, that's what is very difficult with parenting, is that, you know, you're feeling super happy and grateful, but at the same time, you're like, what the hell was I thinking? This is so hard. This is so difficult. This makes me angry. This makes me sad. All at the same time. And we're trying to rationalize these thoughts within our heads. And I think it's tiring if you do that. The key is to lean into it and accept the fact that that is what it's like. I've got a 10-year-old and a 13-year-old. And I can tell you, almost at a constant time, I am feeling angry and happy and grateful at the same time. And you just have to lean into it.
I think it's important what you're saying, because for us to be able to hold on to paradoxical emotions can bring a lot of freedom. I can be so grateful for this baby, and at the same time, I can be so frustrated and wish that she was maybe not here right now. I can hold on to both those feelings.
Yeah.
And getting that is really a key to a lot of freedom. So that's exactly what you said.
Yeah. And I mean, it really, I really feel that it is life-changing once you get to that acceptance point. It takes a while to get that, because you just can't imagine. But it adds so much, I feel, also to mother's guilt if you're, you know, because you're like constantly telling yourself, I have to be so grateful I have a child. I have to be so grateful I have a healthy child. And of course you are grateful. Just because you're also feeling angry doesn't take away from that other feeling. And I mean, that's the funny part, is that how we just think that we can't have more than one emotion at a time. And that's also interesting. But in the same time, I always say to parents, it's interesting what our perception can be of good mental health. And I think you've properly explained so nicely how different it can be, and also different for each mom, because I feel lots of people's perception of what normal mental health looks like is that you're happy and content all the time. And to be honest, a reminder to all of you, that's actually the definition for a psychopath. You should actually be angry when someone punches you in the face. You should be sad when something hectic happens in your life or someone dies. Good mental health means having the appropriate response considering the situation. And that is also important to remember. It is okay to have these overwhelming feelings, especially in the beginning of parenthood. But anyway, Renske, the next question is, why do you feel like maternal and mental health is important? Good mental health.
Well, maternal health is, first of all, often overlooked, the mental health. So we're so worried about mom's physical health, and we check her at 6 weeks and then we send her off, and we're so worried about baby's health that we overlook it.
Yeah.
So, but the impact of mom's maternal mental health is just far beyond that. It's not just the immediate well-being of her or her baby. If she is struggling, it can affect the bond with the baby, and this can have lasting effects on the child's development. It can later have an effect on their emotional abilities, their social abilities, their cognitive abilities. So that's the child's. Then, if mom's struggling, she might have issues with attachment. She might struggle to have a good, healthy attachment with the child, and this can later on cause issues for the child with social development, school, etc. Then baby's physical health. If mom is not doing well, sometimes baby's physical health can suffer under that. Family health and dynamics. Mom is often the life of the home. Mm. And if mom isn't coping, often the whole
structure falls apart.
That's the most important of all, and I think it is so overlooked, is that we actually want mom to have her identity back and to be able to do what she wants to do and what she needs to do. And if we don't look after maternal mental health, those things that are often triggered, some mental health problems that are triggered, can have long-lasting effects for mom. And it can cause her never to go back to who she really wants to be. And our focus, I think, needs to change to giving mom that chance to go back to being mom and
being yourself.
Yeah, being yourself. And sometimes you lose parts of your identity and you forget what they are, but we need to look after mom so that she has the capacity to rediscover that.
Yeah.
And that's some of the reasons why the maternal...
I mean, that's also such a nice topic because, I mean, I do think that we get like very much like drowned in this identity of mom. Mm. And I think, and I mean, in all honesty, I do think that for me personally, for instance, I do feel that being a mom is a big part, obviously, of who I've become. And I really feel that I've grown personally as a person, which I wouldn't have done if I didn't have children. I feel like I'm a lot more patient, understanding, empathetic, a lot more intelligent in some ways, I feel. Really, since I've become a parent, I mean, I know a ridiculous amount of things about dinosaurs that I did not know before I became a parent. but that's just, I feel that it's really helped to create my identity, definitely, and growth that has come from it. And I'm still learning and growing every day. I definitely, even though I have my own podcast and show on parenting, does not mean that I'm not learning here as I'm sitting. Definitely not. I don't even want to try and pretend that I'm an expert. But there, I do think that, yeah, I think that we shouldn't forget that we are still, I'm still a woman. I am still someone that's not just a mom. I'm still someone's partner. I'm still someone's sister. I'm still someone's friend. And I think sometimes we do get like really, we drown in this existence of motherhood. And eventually they also leave us, our kids. And then you don't want to sit in a point where you left yourself behind. Exactly. Or you left your partner behind. Because you will be a mom forever, but they won't need you in the same way that they need you when they're small. Mm. And I think that is something to always, with parenting, have a long-term. With everything, you should have a long-term vision. Mm. I love this talk, Renske. If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 Chai FM. And this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And I'm talking mom's mental health and the importance. And I mean, also we're talking about mom's mental health, but I think the domino effect it kind of creates from this momhood that it is, because I do think it filters into so many different aspects of life as well. They often say societies are built on moms. Mm. Aren't they? I'm pretty sure that's a saying. If not, I'm creating it now. But how common do you feel, Renske, that how common you feel mental health is? Because I do think they say that it's relatively common, like postnatal depression. But I mean, how many moms really actually get diagnosed? How common is it?
Yeah, so it's interesting that you point that out, because the research shows that about 30 to 40% of women in South Africa experience symptoms of perinatal depression. So we don't really say we can say postpartum, but we talk about perinatal because it's the whole period, including the time when you're trying to conceive. All right, so 30 to 40% is what they say for that diagnosis. And furthermore, the prevalence of anxiety and mental health conditions, that's the thing that's the most diagnosed in moms in the perinatal period. Then, if you think of the South African context and all the other stresses we have issues with socioeconomic issues, poverty, load shedding, all of these things, that adds to these stresses. And so I think, like you just said, yes, that's what the stat says. But I think the reality is a little bit more than that. And also, as an OT, I have to look at context and circumstances. And if you really think about it, it takes a village to raise a child. We are actually naturally supposed to be in a very close-knit community where child-rearing responsibilities is almost automatically shared, and as such also other responsibilities. But because of the nature of where we live and how we live, it isn't like that anymore. Mm. Moms have to absorb all of the responsibilities all of the time. It's not. So in essence, we're not in the natural environment, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that is my opinion as to why mental health struggles as well as mental health diagnosis for moms is more prevalent, because we're actually in this unnatural environment and we don't have the natural support systems that we should have in place just because of how people live and everyone works. And that's why I think that's what the stats say, 30 to 40%, but I think it might be
a little bit more than that.
A little bit more. And also, it's not just the diagnosis. So you don't have to necessarily have a diagnosis of perinatal depression to need support. I think we've become so used to being anxious and all the time busy that it's almost become normal. We think it's normal, but actually those are red flags to say you need a little bit of support. So that's why I think it's actually much more common than what we realize.
Yeah, but why do you feel there's some of these red flags that we should be looking out for to be able to identify, you know, if we are? And I mean, again, I also feel like I think the spectrum of mental health when we're talking about, yeah, we're on purpose talking now mental health and not just saying postnatal depression. I mean, there's a spectrum that we're talking about here. And also that we're not just talking about, yes, I have postnatal depression and I have to get help. You want to not get to that point where you are. I mean, sometimes it's not, it's obviously not something that you purposefully can avoid, but you know what I'm saying? There is a red flags before you get to a point like that.
Yeah. So I always, when I work with moms, I say, sometimes you're just not coping. So I like to talk about not coping. And if you're not coping, that can be an indication of either you're not coping, you need some informal support, or you really have some further issues. And some of these things, so when someone is not coping, you could maybe imagine a mom lying on the floor crying all the time. And that's not really what it looks like. Sometimes she can look well put together and everything can look fine, but it can be stuff like struggling with higher cognitive functions. Not that normal fuzzy brain that you have while you're breastfeeding, like really struggling with time planning, really struggling to make decisions, that kind of thing. Also just surviving. So you're surviving from
that. I call that decision fatigue. And sometimes to my friends, I would say to them, it's like, I have decision fatigue, so I want you to make the choice.
Yeah. Tell me what to do. Yeah, but it's that absolute incapability to have stuff in your mind.
Yeah.
Struggling to engage with your baby beyond meeting their basic needs. So when you really like the baby's fine, he's fed. Someone has said to me before, this mom can't be depressed. Look how beautifully clean her baby is. And I said, you know what? You can look after the basic needs, but there's nothing more. You really struggle to connect with them beyond that. Sometimes people will ooh and ah, your baby's so cute. And you're just thinking, I don't feel that. That can just be a sign, especially after the first 10 days of having a baby, that maybe you need some support. And then feeling detached or like the baby isn't yours. So that's very normal. Sometimes we have that and we feel that in the first few weeks. But if that persists, and if you really feel, this is not my baby, I can't connect with this baby, that can be a sign of that you need some support. Then sometimes when we become extremely sensitive to comments or advice and we interpret everything as criticism, it might be an indication that we actually feel insecure and that we need a little bit of support. So that's another sign. And what I see very often is a mom that's unable to articulate or conceptualize what she actually needs. She's like, I don't know, what's up? But she can't tell you what she needs. And then an important one is if you feel like crying all the time, this is more for the newborn stage.
Yeah.
Because remember that baby blues is normal. It's a change in hormones. It's normal. But if you're still feeling this way after 10 days or 12 days, or it persists for weeks, and very importantly, if this starts later, so if you're fine and it starts after 3 or 4 months, that is a red flag. That is saying, listen, you're not coping. You need a little bit of support. And then there are obviously those huge red flags. Like if you keep having thoughts about your baby dying, but it's like impacting your life. It's impacting your ability to function. You have to check on baby every few minutes. That's a big red flag. That means immediate medical care. Or if you are sleep problems, like you really, you're so tired, you're so fatigued, you can't fall asleep. Or you become super, or delusions or hallucinations. So those are the, I would say, red flags.
Yeah.
Say that you're not coping. And if you have any thoughts about harming yourself, harming the baby, this is important, because don't feel, moms can feel isolated by that, but rather reach out for help.
Yeah.
Because it's a sign that you need support. It's not a sign that that you're a horrible person.
Yeah. And I mean, I think you mentioned it earlier, is that like, I think that society unfortunately is set up in a bit of a way that we can become very quickly isolated as moms as well. And I say that all the time. And I mean, that's again why I love our High FM community so much, that we are creating these opportunities to talk about these things, and that we can support each other within these communities, is because life is not meant to be done on its own. We are such social creatures. And we are meant to do it with other people. You are not meant to do it on your own. And that doesn't mean only the good stuff should be done together. It also means that the struggles, and I mean, I can tell you, struggling with a friend, struggling with a husband, struggling with your parents, when you get through the hard stuff, I can tell you, you're going to get to the other side so much more connected to each other as well when you go through that. So, and Renske said, it's like reach out. There's so many options these days. So even though we live in an era where you can be very isolated, I also believe that we live in an era where there is so much help and support necessary. But again, we as individuals need to also normalize talking about these type of situations. And again, that's why these talks are so important for me, because I really want us to be kind when we also notice it in someone else. It's not just noticing, but more on that just now.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
If you've just joined me, yes, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond, and our show is very strongly coming to an end already. It's always like, you know, time flies when you're having fun, but don't stress if you've missed the show, because as always, this show and all my other shows, actually all the shows on High FM, are available as podcasts on highfm.com for you to go listen to. And I am very proud of the library already that we have created on highfm.com on parenting. I do feel we have quite a wide variety of topics that we've covered. So please go have a look at what's available and what you want to listen to. And of course, let us know if you want us to talk about something else as well. If there's something specific you want more information on, we would love to hear about that from you as well. So my guest today joining me is occupational therapist Renske Senekal. And we're talking about mom's mental health and what it looks like, what you can do, and the red flag specifically that we were talking about just now, that it can look very different for very different people. But I mean, before we run out of time, I do also want to, and like I said, I mentioned before that life was not meant to be done alone, that we should look for support and we shouldn't be afraid to ask for those support. But what does, Renske, what do you feel support looks like?
So I think there's two kinds. So there's informal support, support at home from your support network, and then professional support. The most important thing is to get the support network in place. Before the baby comes, I encourage your mom, get it in place before, because when you're in it, it's too much too fast. Informal support, so I'm OT, so I have to give you practical tips, is choose 3 or 5 people. three or five people that are your mentors or your advice givers, and make sure that they are aligned with your values and they give advice out of wisdom and kindness, because otherwise you get too much too all over the place.
No, that's such a good tip. I really should have like thought about that before I had kids.
So you choose, you know, people that you can see how they're rearing their children and you agree with that, because advice is given and there's too much information out there. Then delegation. So there are certain things that only you can do for your child. That's fine. Do that. But delegate the things that other people can do, so that, you know, it might not be done as perfectly as you would like it, but it will get done, so that you can use your leftover mental capacity to focus on the things that you need to do, like breastfeeding or whatever. And I want to mention that it's not just the newborn stage. Moms with kids of all ages can really do with a bit of help. If you can take something off their plate, please do that. But mom, remember to accept that help. And remember to delegate, despite the fact that it might not be perfect.
Yes.
Then create periods of rest for yourself and for your mom. Now, Yolandi, people tell me it's impossible. So many moms tell me it's impossible. And I just tell them, listen, if you can think creatively and you have a good support system, then periods of rest to refill spiritually and emotionally, if you understand the importance of it in preventing serious, serious problems, then you can be creative and make time. So I know it sounds impossible, but trust me, it's important. Yeah. And then sometimes just listening. So this is for mom as well as for the people supporting her. And what I found very helpful is when you're speaking to someone, mamas out there, just tell them, listen, I need you to just listen. I need advice or I need a hug, so that they know what your expectation is. And who is listening? Don't always just give advice. Maybe she just needs an ear. Ask her, okay, do you just need me to listen? Do you need a hug, etc.? On a professional level, the one thing that I've seen is mom support groups. This includes the church and community groups. People are having fantastic results. They're just in terms of staying all right and really looking after their mental health. Church and community groups, obviously also with therapists, but the community groups, then medication is an option. It can sometimes help. You can visit your general practitioner, but please, if you do, visit a general practitioner that's a little bit further specialized in mental health, especially maternal mental health, or a psychiatrist. It really just helps us to be sure that we are addressing your needs accurately. Occupational therapists can give practical tips and interventions and make plans for you as well as baby. And we do group treatment and group workshops. Play therapists can really help with the bond between mom and baby, and that just also lifts the mental load. Counselors and psychologists, very important. And then, of course, I'm a supporter of reaching out for help with sleep. Oftentimes, a lack of sleep or a lack of good sleep is really foundational to some of our mental health problems. If you're going to consult sleep consultancies or anyone that can help you with sleep, not only is it based on science, this is often a very good referral source. These professionals are trained in spotting red flags and accurate referral. So looking after, and then also whoever it is that supports you, whether it's your clinic nurse, your pediatrician, or your general practitioner, people that you see regularly, make sure that you really have a good relationship with them. More than just, oh, I'm checking in, someone that can accurately refer you and see red flags.
And I mean, I think, Renske, that's also so, like, I mean, even you now mentioning like various different professionals that's out there, I really think, and I mean, that's, for me, so important to remember. And I mean, it's like, I can tell it from my own children, both. I mean, I have to say that my daughter thought that occupational therapy was actually an activity, because my son was doing it and loving going to OT. And then when she had to choose her activities for the new year, she literally said, like, I want to do OT next year. I'm like, it's not really an activity, but sure, you could do it. But I think that's like, from there, he also had to get speech therapy. It was like a whole combination. And I think that kind of highlights for me also, and even the way you were talking about the support network that you can create, is the reality is that often it's not just one thing. A child is just like any other human being. There's often, it's a multifaceted like type of approach that is with anything. So even if there's not anything even wrong, it takes a village to raise a child and to create that network and to have trusted people. And I think your foundation of that, finding the friends the three friends, and I can tell you, if you have three or five to five people that you trust their opinion, that will domino into the right pediatrician that you will see. That will domino into the right, and that network will be somewhere a network that you trust in the end of the day.
And it's like-minded people and people that will accept the things that you almost think are unacceptable. Moms in my practice find so much healing from just hearing, oh goodness, that mom's child also just had cereal last night for supper.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just that people that are accepting and like-minded people, it really helps.
Yeah. And I mean, again, also, and I love also the fact that you were highlighting the fact that we're not just talking here about the newborn phase or the, because in all honesty, my kids are 10 and 13, and looking back at the baby and toddler phase, I laugh at how easy it was, to be honest. It's like, and I'm not judging, because I know when you're in it, it does not feel easy, even remotely. You feel like you can never be alone. But now reflecting on it, to be honest, I'm like thinking, that was the easy part. If I just think of the challenges that I'm facing now and how busy my children's lives are, and I have to manage it, it is overwhelming. I definitely feel like I'm not coping.
But do you see the value of community? Because when this happens, like between you and me now, there's also hope. So there's seeing, you know what, you will get there, it will be okay. And it's also being in line with moms that say, oh, I also feel like that.
Yeah.
And moms that say, you know what, it is hard now, but it's going to be okay. So it's really that with a multitude of people. People that have been through it. So if you choose your five people, make sure to choose someone whose child is much older than yours, because that helps.
Definitely.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
And just like that, we have come to the end of our show. If you've missed it, like I mentioned earlier, definitely you can go listen to it as a podcast. Renske, it's really been such a beautiful conversation with you, talking about moms or maternal mental health and just how broad and vast and different it is for each of us. But before you go, please do share with people where they can find you, where they can get more information, please.
All right. Thanks. And it was lovely speaking to you, Yolandi. So people are welcome to contact me on my practice cell phone number at 071-484-0241. Or they can visit the website, renskecynicalot.co.za, or an email to info@renskecynicalot.co.za. Yeah. If they want more information, I mean, you and I can talk all day. So they can contact me if they want to know more about anything we've said. And thank you so much for the opportunity. I really, really appreciate it.
Not a problem. I've also checked out Renske's Instagram page. She's also on Instagram, so you can go check her out there as well and send her a DM if you've missed any of that information. But all of it is on there. Renske Senecal, of course, you'll get the spelling of her name and everything if you didn't get it on our chaifm.com as well. Thank you so much, Renske. Have a wonderful day. On that note, I can't believe the show is already done today. It's really such a passion of mine. I think I just have to have a show about mental health. It will make me feel good. but it is really such an important topic. And again, not just about you yourself looking out for the red flags and taking care of yourself. Of course that is. But again, life is not meant to be done alone. And a lot of this is also for you to look for the opportunities to be one of those five people for someone else. Be one of those 3 to 5 people that people can count on for reliable, kind advice. No judgment zone. And we really, I mean, my motto is always, we can make the world a better place with kindness. And that's really, we shouldn't be seen as, like I said, it can be very judgmental in this social media space that we're in. But yes, next week I chatted to an optometrist, Annelise de Toy, about all you need to know about your child's eyes. I feel a funny thing that's very important. We use it all the time. Yet I feel like we don't really take care of it and we don't properly get it checked out for our children unless there's an issue. So I'm looking forward to that conversation and talking about our children's beautiful features, which are their eyes. One of the greatest gifts you can give to your child is the example of kindness. Thank you so much for joining me. Until next time, have a wonderful day.